title of this talk is A Little Bit About Esther. It's not meant to be funny. It's a little bit about Esther. So obviously the book of Esther. So open to our chapter one of the book of Esther. Now, the book of Esther is peculiar in a couple of ways, but one quite dramatic way that I discovered a few years ago, the word God and Lord does not appear in it. Whereas obviously every other book in the Bible has God and Lord in it. And I've been through phases of mindset toward the book of Esther, thinking, well, what's it there for? Well, there is a reason it's there. We know the Bible supports itself, and all the books in the Bible belong in the Bible. So I'm going to read out a few passages in the book of Esther this evening. And obviously the mindset is that, okay, the book of Esther belongs in the Bible, so it's there for a reason. It's God's word, God's way of trying to encourage us in our walk, and so there must be a lot of symbolism in it, like the Old Testament, even though they were historic events, that they are symbolic and a shadow of our spiritual walk. Okay, so let's start in verse 1 of Esther chapter 1, and it says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus." This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. So it was a phenomenal country, I guess you could say, that the king reigned over, all the way from Ethiopia right through to India. And it's basically the same sort of lands that Alexander the Great conquered as he swept through all that. So it's a lot of people, a lot of different people as well, different ethnic groups and languages and so forth, but a phenomenal country. And then jump down to verse 10, and he put on a feast of all the powerful people, nobles and so forth. And in verse 10 it says, "And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zetha, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burnt in him." So here we start with this event that the queen dishonoured the king. And in the context of symbolism, I believe Vashti represents the Old Testament. Right? So in Jeremiah chapter 3 it says, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce." So Queen Vashti dishonoured the king, just like the Old Testament Israel dishonoured God the king, and went and did her own thing, that as it says in Jeremiah, that God put away backsliding Israel. In the same way here, Vashti, which represents the Old Testament, was put away. Over to chapter 2, Esther chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who'd been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And here's another little peculiar thing about the book of Esther, is that Mordecai, a Jew, encourages his cousin, it appears, his cousin or niece, depending on how it all works there, encourages her to marry a Gentile, which is unusual in the natural, like in the Old Testament sense. But of course, it's wonderfully symbolic. And if Vashti represents the Old Testament church, i.e. Israel, then Esther represents the New Testament church. And that marriage with God himself. So jump down to verse 17 of chapter 2. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favour in his sight more than all the virgins. Right? And that word virgin in the New Testament sense is spiritual virgins. Those that are pure in their mindset to follow God himself, and those that are adulterous, those churches that are adulterous, serve other gods. So Esther here obtained grace, you know, unmerited favour, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, okay? I.e. the spirit-filled church is arrayed in fine linen before the living God. Over to chapter 3 and verse 8. Esther chapter 3 and verse 8 says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Now, with respect to the spirit-filled church, we are scattered amongst the world, and we have a different mindset and focus, being that of onto God. But of course, we do obey the natural laws. So it's partly right there what Haman says about the spirit-filled church in the New Testament. But down to verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I'll pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. Now, the Agagites were descendants from Amalekite. And if King Saul had done his job properly, he would have destroyed the Amalekites. But he didn't. And Haman, the enemy of the Jews, is a descendant of the Amalekites. Verse 11, and the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So it says here that this letter was written and dispersed from Shushan, the capital, on the 13th day of the first month, that the Jews will be slaughtered on the 13th day of the 12th month. So it's an 11 months' time. Okay, it's quite a while. 11 months after the decree was this day of slaughter meant to happen. The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed, troubled, really troubled by this thing. And so it was a horrible decree to destroy all of God's chosen people on this particular day. Now, there's a few things that happen in the meantime. A lot of us may well know, but Esther pleads the case with the king. In the end, Haman is found guilty and he's executed. But then we get to chapter 8, Esther chapter 8. And it says, on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favour in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus's name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honour. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So a complete turnaround. And this here, this like day of pending destruction, is like the end of the world in the New Testament era. And then there is this great deliverance of those that follow God's ways. And we have a confidence, you know, there's great joy that we'll be raised up to dwell with the Lord forever at the end of the world. Now, those that are not following God's ways are actually the enemies of God, and they will be destroyed. Right? So this is like the judgment, the day of judgment before the Lord. And if we're walking on and following God's ways, there's great rejoicing that we'll survive that day. And what I like as well in verse 17, it says, and many of the people of the land became Jews. So today we go about preaching the gospel and saying, hey, look, you can be saved from this day of destruction. So many people are called to the kingdom of God with joy so that they can be saved from that day of destruction. And then we have confidence and joy, and we're not afraid of that day. Down to chapter 9. So through chapter 9, it comes to the 13th day of the 12th month, and the Jews defend themselves, and those that are enemies of God's people are destroyed. And then we get to verse 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman, what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee? Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? And then Esther responds in an interesting way. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan. But on the prey, or the plunder, they laid not their hand. And so there's a couple of things. Just back to what we're saying, like they had to wait, the Jews had to wait 11 months before the 13th day of the 12th month, this impending day. So there may have been a little bit of hesitancy. Oh, are we going to be saved or aren't we? You know, there's potentially we're destroyed and potentially we're it's great joy on that day, but there was no need to have that concern because they were delivered. And then the next day in Shushan, the palace, Esther asks for repeat. And it's like it's the first resurrection and the second death. Those that are saved in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. And so we likewise, depending on how time goes, we might read that chapter in Revelation where it refers to the second death and those that are part of the first resurrection, the second death has no power. Back to chapter 4. And this was back at a time when Esther was afraid to go before the king and ask for help for her people. And Mordecai famously says this thing in chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And we have come to the kingdom of God for a time such as this." To spread the gospel, to show that there is hope of deliverance from the judgment at the end of the world. But also what encapsulates here in verse 14 is the will of God will be done, whether it's by us or someone else. The Lord will find someone else if we don't do it. But why don't we do it? Let's do it. Let's be a part of this great action, just like Esther did. In the natural, she stood up and saw a great result, the deliverance of God's people. But, of course, as I said, Esther represents the New Testament church and how we have this message and this gospel to deliver people from impending destruction. And there's great joy and confidence in that. As it says in 1 Corinthians 16, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema Maranatha." Okay, anathema, destroyed, you know, far from God. So let us love the Lord Jesus Christ as we do and want to be with him forever, that we are not part of the anathema Maranatha, but a part of the raising up to be with God forever. So we do have time. So let's go to Revelation chapter 2. A prophecy of the church at Smyrna, I think. Revelation chapter 2, yes, verse 11. Revelation 2, verse 11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death." Right, just like in the book of Esther. You know, people of God, those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be hurt with the second death. Over to Revelation 20 to finish up the great prophecy here. It explains a lot about what will be happening. Revelation 20 and verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And it's like Haman represented the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan. Verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Down to verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Or they were anathema Maranatha, because they loved not the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, we have a pathway that we're following where we're a part of the first resurrection and the second death has no power. Just like the Jews in Shushan under Esther there. Okay, thank you.